Welcome to the Walk in Victory podcast, where we sit you at the feet of the masters. My name is Carla, and I'm excited to introduce you to our host, Naron Tillman, recording from the bustling borough of Queens, New York. On this show, we dive deep into the journeys of individuals who have overcome tremendous challenges to achieve their goals. Through their stories, we hope to provide you with inspiration, guidance, and strategies for your own journey towards victory. So get ready to learn from the masters themselves as we explore the triumphs and struggles that make success possible. Let's dive in. And now here's our host, Naron Tillman.
Time you're listening, all we listen from, it's your boy, your host, Naron Tillman, and you are with me for another episode of Walk in Victory. Speaking of victory walks, back to when decided transition from which was construction into more of a non service-based business, which was me being getting certifications in digital marketing, tech writing, and all of those things, which now helps me in my purpose, because I realized that to a service-based business that I didn't want to be involved in. And I'll tell you, when you start to do content development for people who don't have content development, I had to learn to unlearn. Growing up in church, everything is all busy. So I had to learn how to pick pictures that can tell the story that I wanted to tell. To state so that the picture can tell a story. And then I had to learn how to use the space of the space that to give all of your information, all of the details of the information, that to a home page or a page for a funnel or something like that. So the science was different. When we were doing construction, I would call it actions, everything was on our business card, on our fly. When you're doing a concert, you have the date, the time, you try to put everything in the fly, and it makes it busy. Start to understand that less is more. Finding assets are more important than necessarily trying to put on a fly and making it too busy, and you want to have one call to action. That's from a client, and you're saying, okay, you have an event, you have five speakers, you need assets for each speaker separately. Then you need to ask for so that each event, each look like it's a different event, but it's all interconnected because the color schemes, the dates, the times, the persons, opportunities. Only using speaking as a an opportunity to be able to promote themselves. If you just everybody on it, and you have me there, it's like, okay, I'm promoting, but I'm promoting everybody. But if you cater to the one speak, them feel more intimate, and it makes them say, hey, look what I'm doing, because those are the assets, those are the things that you have to have on top of all of that. Where most people fail is, while we were successful, this was my partner, who I know, he grew up in South Carolina, but he had quit. Successful. Every time the phone rings, somebody has to pick it up. So that day after I couldn't get the sheetrock up the brownstone, it was three quarter sheetrocking partner. And we thought, hey, there's no elevators. And these guys that get the sheetrock, put it on their shoulder, they've been doing this for years, talking wet. Now I'm struggling to get the sheetrock up the steps. You're like, you know what? Your job, you'll be back in the office. He revamps and third answering the phone call, creating it so that they won't get away from us. Make sure somebody have a complaint that they actually are talking to a physical person. And although that may as if it's an old school way of doing business, those values are still the same. Because how many times have you had a problem where customer service or something goes wrong and you go to their website, there's no phone number, look, there's a chat bot, there's all these things. And those things can be serviceable, but if you're impatient or you may have questions that the chat bot cannot really, you
yes, sir.
Really want to have someone to talk to, or you just old talk to, because it brings a sense of calm, as it brings a sense of calm to the employer, credibility to, well, not the employee, to the business. Fact that you have invested in a time when AI, all those things seem to be people are going, because it's going to thing to bring forth in their small-mindedness, bring their revenue, because I'm not paying someone to do these things that I can automate for the money. But what you lose in the long run is customer care. That's what this conversation today is going to be about. Hey, how you doing?
Hello, Ryan. How are you? So happy to be with you and your audience. And I tell you what, you have a very strong grasp of what it takes to have that sort of client, to retain them, maybe do an upsell, get a referral. And as you said, go the distance so they're with you for many years.
Yep, customer care. You can first introduce, let the audience know yourself. But my first question is going to be, when we talk about customer care, so as you introduce yourself, talk about it, that we have these conversations about that segment.
Of course. I'm the proud CEO of Costa Rica's call center, originally from Northeast Philadelphia. I was a Spanish major in Arizona, which was cool. And then about 24 years ago, I was given a 1 in a million opportunity to move to Costa Rica for a couple months and hang out at my friend's center, decided to stay and learn the business from the inside out. And so 17 years ago, I threw my hat in the ring, started my business, started with one seat. Today we, once again, 17 years, 150 strong, own a building. So it's been a very good run. Some twists and turns, there's endurance in there, and you have to be responsible, mature with your money and responsibilities. I wouldn't trade it for the world. It was my own, besides having the guidance and education in the States, this was my own adventure here in Costa Rica. And so, yeah, customer support's important. I made a living from it, where people can retain a client so they don't leave you, and knowing when they're venting. So you let them puff themselves out a little bit, and then you could readjust the tone and close the call. But I tell you what, you were mentioning websites without phone numbers and just chats, and AI is good for gathering. I'll let them bring it to maybe the 10-yard line, but you and I need to bring that ball into the end zone. There's no way that AI will be able to replace empathy. Meaning. Empathy is one thing they can't do. And secondly, you and I press zero. I want to speak with somebody. I want to know who Betty and Judy are. And I want, it's not that they need to appreciate my business, but if I have a wonderful experience, I got to say something to somebody. Or as you say, if there's an issue, instead of exploding, cursing, and making it worse, you have somebody that knows me and knows I've been with the company for a long time, and they understand, allowing a moment to make it right, thanking me for sharing it. And that's the mature thing to do. You don't put your head in the sand. The big boys and the big girls are the ones that confront this, be accountable when necessary, and always have a game plan, because you judge somebody's character during chaos, not during good times. And if somebody can land that plane instead of that heart, rely on them for long-term relationships.
I often tell people when they're starting business and they don't have money conversations, and when that desired salaries, because a lot of people don't pay themselves first. They feel like it's a brag to say, oh, I'll pay it. No, you should pay yourself first, because your business shouldn't become a burden to you. Just having those, have those money conversations when there is no money, they become harder once money starts to be made. But it's the same thing, care, right? If you don't have a system how to be compassionate for your customer, you have a customer, then you won't really think that is important once you start to obtain some of the conversations that you have when you're onboarding people that you're going to be working with in the short or long concerning customer care.
Of course. Two things. First, I just want to address making money. I wouldn't be in this industry if it wasn't lucrative. And secondly, I don't work for free, but I am a guest in this country and I have to follow certain labor and leave a law. So I have to make sure that these employees are full salary, full-time work, and plus I play their benefits. Keeps me out of trouble and keeps it honest. But still, there's a margin there and I can earn money off that margin. And if the company grows, the margin grows. And so I was always making money. It just depends on how much. And you do things, in my opinion, in cash. Why? So you don't overextend. They can't take it away from you. There's no interest in bad partners. You go at your pace. And so when I started my business, I didn't start with a building. What I was doing was renting a turnkey station at a blended center. It was like an internet cafe. And so I could scale accordingly, seat by seat. Wasn't glamorous, but I made my margin. People got paid. It was just public space. And then after 2 years of having a bankroll and consistent clients, I then rented space and bought used equipment, because in my industry, people have brand new computers that are barely used. Sometimes call centers go out of business. So if you're smart, you can really ramp up for pennies on the dollar. And I could do that row by row accordingly. And then I did that for 6 years. And then when I really wanted to triple down, I bought a building, put on a third floor, built it up for 300 seats. And so now you got the happy home. And so as long as you're slow and steady, you act your wage, you always have reserves to do the right thing. And these people need to get paid first, because if not, they're going to come at me with pitchforks and torches and they're going to come after. I don't want that. I just want to make sure it's a fair shake. And if I'm good as I think I am, I can earn enough money. So
don't pay yourself first. I'm meaning hire people for things where the business is not ready for us to call you.
Oh yeah.
So
I agree with that.
Because people are so interested in being a boss, instead of saying, I'm going to do these jobs, I'm going to make sure I can pay myself to do these. I'm going to do the things that are necessary to get the business going. Someone,
yeah,
I need to be in a position to hire. This is not a conversation about work.
I know.
Sometimes people hire too fast. Can you agree? Like the way the going into a work space, moving into an office space, those are progressive steps. But when you start with one seat, you understood of not moving too or being caught up in the glit and glamour, because you could have just said, hey, I'm going to go buy a building equipment and I'm going to believe and then I'm going to achieve. But no, you wanted to see tangible results first.
Are you kidding? There's no way. My wife wouldn't let me do that either. But I tell you what, if it's a one-seater, that's the capital mark being. If it's a 10-seater, you find a team lead out of it. You promote from within. You don't bring in outside supervisors. You bring outside specialists for IT and legal stuff, but you don't do it internally. They won't gain the respect. And those business owners like myself, that when I worked at my friend's center, I learned customer support, retention, onboarding, sales, training, SEO, affiliate management, labor laws, you name it. It was the greatest 4 years of my life. It was like graduate school. And so today, I might own this company, but I could walk the floor and play. It's almost like Deion Sanders. You could put him at any position on the field, it'll be the best. And you could put me on any campaign at any call at any time.
And leave match or exceed.
And so I've earned the respect of the troops. I am a guest in this country. I'm a Philly kid that learned their language, survived in a competitive industry for 17 years. And I know their names. I give them their dignity. We break bread and play pinball together. And so I have to back it up. And if I'm a linguist and I believe that I'm giving the best soft skills, customer support training, and we'll get to that in 1 second, at least they'll come back. My industry has the largest attrition rate, up to 300%. And so, Niran, what happens is I will lose somebody because Amazon's hiring. I compete against Amazon, HP, and Intel here. It's a better schedule because of school. Listen, your girlfriend works there. Buddy, it's 5 minutes from your house. It's closer to home. And if you're as good as you think you are, you might be making more money. But I tell you what, Mr. New York City, you and I would never, ever give somebody the walk of shame or make them cry. We'll call the balls and the strikes a little bit of guilt because we believe in you. And I'm not going to break you. But I got to see what you're worth. I got to size you up. Old school style. I'm not asking for much. Just show up on time, make your phone calls, have your metrics, be coachable. And if I can start slicing and adjusting and getting to the levels, we'll have some breakthroughs. These will be incredible diplomatic skills that will save marriages and make you a ton of bread if you really hone them. And so to me, I don't do sports books, casino stocks, pharmacies, or sweepstakes, no matter what Hollywood does. And stop giving telemarketers a bad rap. There's a lot of incredible people out there on the phone doing things ethically. I am taking this delicate stage of these mid-20s, English second language, and giving them their self-confidence and self-reliance. I'll give you an example. Balance. I can't have them shook up on the phone. They need to be in the now, focusing on 30-second segments for checkpoints. So that's why the certain soft skills that we use, tie-down questions, asking if things make sense, right? Niran, sounds good, right? I got a checkpoint. Then I say, may we move forward? Of course we can, Richard. Excellent. I go from horizontal to vertical, start asking open-ended questions, letting you hear your explanation. But then, you know, there are certain times you need to use soft skills. I'll never say, how may I help you? You never. Replace that with assist, guide, and lend a hand. You're not provoking an ego. You're using more diplomatic vocabulary. Open up the sores. Look at similes. The words that give you warm fuzzies that you think is the longbow to give you distance and strength, and use them. Instead of saying, Niran, excuse me, because your dog's barking or I can't hear you. Fall on that sword. It's a strategy. You can sacrifice. Sacrifice your pride by saying, hey, Niran, for my clarification, was it ABC or 123? Dude, your dog's barking. I can't hear you. So I'm just trying to be diplomatic about it and maybe passive aggressive in a certain way by saying, hey, man, you got to put the dog outside because I'm asking you, is it ABC or 123? But for my clarification, and when you make appointments, make them tentative, so there's wiggle room. Make it in pencil, not in pen. And then ask someone at their convenience. Not at my time, your time. Convenience, tentative. Very soft words. Things that are encompassing. And so it's very easy to give yourself a zig and a zag in life because things do come up. Like, for an example, we were supposed to have a podcast last week. No problem. First thing this morning, we both said, hello, good morning, what's up? And then all of a sudden, boom, here we are right now. And so even behind the scenes, Niran, you're a pro, and you and I were in communication, lock in an hour. It was great. And so people can do these things. It's not second and third chances. It's just continuing that relationship with someone and understanding their boundaries and making sure you're communicating on time just to keep it going. And just by doing those simple please and thank yous and awareness, don't be surprised if things aren't prolonged and converted to your favor. And that's what we do, my friend. We slow down, We calm down. We walk and we don't run. You first, my friend. First round's on me. You tell me your story first. These are the sort of social graces that we do on the phone that people can talk. We can chisel, take out the juice, get rid of the fat, reduce our talk time and focus more on the goodie and make sure we get a first call resolution list here. And we take good meeting minutes and we follow up with proper emails and we can do custom made voicemails and we just do it the Naran way, the classy way, the custom made way. That's all.
One of the things that you said is Amazon and you have these companies that are your competition. A lot of people who consider small business owners don't look at, don't take on that. What, besides being from Philly, and I know how that goes, what is it that make you in? And oh, I got a little small shop. No, these are my.
You're so funny. I'll never be as good as Jeff Bezos, but I tell you
what. Why did you embrace that?
We share the same labor pool, so I have no choice but to know them. I can't ignore them in the hallway. I know who you are. Because people on their resumes, when they come to me, say Amazon, and people that have been with me say Costa Rica's call center when they're applying there. So just by default, human resources department are aware of one another. Plus, I have a very large Facebook fan page, the number one in the country, which is great. But that's not the point. The point is, what do they do when they're with you? There's a lot of people that would love to get lost amongst thousands and just be a number. That's fine. But then there's certain people that like to play for certain coaches in college, like Lute Olson for the Wildcats, for an example. Certain men were willing to give their left arm to go play for him because they know that this individual would pass along structure and make sure that they'd get better at their game and they had a proven track record. And so even though I'm not the largest, my friend, and that's fine, you've heard a lot of armies in certain areas that have been able to conquer things much larger than them. Look at David and Goliath. They talk about these things. And so I'm not saying I'm going to take them on. That'd be foolish to go at them straight up. They'd eat me alive. But if I'm capable of being clever, being animated, being authentic, not saying that they're not, but I'm shedding skin and being vulnerable. People know the owner. My office is right next to the floor on the second level. And so if you are willing to have your name known, if you're willing to sit with me with coffee and we can listen to some of your amazing recordings, Naran, and I can compliment you in regards to your listening skills and how you said the name Mrs. Jones in such a way that the individual complimented you for making them feel comfortable. I love that. I'm paying it forward now. I have enough dinners that I can eat and I'm very comfortable in my life. And so at 52 years old, what I want to do is to make you feel good about what you do. Because if you make a friend here, if somebody goes above and beyond to know you compared to just paying you, because I'm very competitive with my salary, so you're, I don't need thousands, my friend. I just need a few. And if those individuals are willing to literally show me who they are and allow me to be the mentor as I've been mentored by great individuals along my way, what a beautiful gift. And the ones that get it, the ones that play air hockey and pinball, where they tell me a story about themselves when they beat up a bully or saved a kitten. I want to hear when you were bold and brave, you had some grit. I want to know if you beat a bully up. And then I can start calling you champ. And if you're willing to just squirt and throw with me, Naran, then we have that sort of bond, my brother, that's not going to break. And you know that's the stuff that can go years and keep giving.
So, Richard, when you get to Costa Rica on a trip.
Yeah.
You begin to ingratiate yourself within the community, not to be disrespectful to the culture. Because a lot of times we can come with our arrogance, right? And stuff. But not only that, I'm going to plant my flag I over here.
That's right.
And I'm going to something that I never imagined myself to do. Mm-hmm. What was that like? How afraid were you when you went to that coffee shop and your seat at the table?
If you prepare for the fight, you'll be ready to go. Don't think I just walked into this with just a week's worth of Spanish. I've been studying it since I was 14 years old. I interned for Telemundo, worked for the importers of Corona. So I had a lot of preseason play before I actually got to go on the field. And don't be surprised when a rookie doesn't put up some huge numbers or people miss college and go from high school to pro. So I was never really tested. I just tested myself. And when you do dedicated practice, if you hit the gym when your friends don't, if you read that extra chapter when people are going night, those are the winners. How do you think people learn how to play sports or do art? You're just not seeing them in the moment. Look at all the hours they put into it. You're just watching them perform. And so I know that if I hit the gym, if I had a healthy lifestyle, if I studied my Spanish, if I studied rhetoric, if I was just a good kid, it may be wet behind my ears, just given that chance and being raw, I won't be tainted. I won't have bad habits. I won't be a cancer. I'll be fresh faced like in the movies. And so I was ready to go, scared of what? I had good faith, good intentions. And also I had the James Bond because I knew Spanish and I didn't sometimes let people know that to see if they were saying good or bad things about me. I also have preventative measures. I didn't want to put myself in any sort of awkward. I'm not trying to exchange $100 bills in Boys Town at 3 a.m. You're going to get your butt kicked. Come on, be smart.
Well,
I just made sure that, as you say, respecting the rules and just shedding skin, liberating yourself, being there. And I fell in love, married the girl of my dreams. I had a bunch of friends here already. So my transition was easier than just being thrown into the middle of some place with just a knife and some matches. But I was ready for it. I got past parents' guilt. And I knew that in my heart, I had something that was telling me in the good way, your intuition, that this is a good thing. It's a good thing. Even though you got butterflies, it's to keep you on your toes, not to hold you back. It's letting you know to be more aware of your life, because if you don't grab it now, it will pass you. You'll be back in Philadelphia, trying to sell real estate or something, and miserable for the rest of your life. This is your dream. This is your journey. And so you're almost willing to die with your boots on, not in a literal way, but I was willing to stay up late, wake up early, do a handshake. And if you want, walk across that dance floor and ask my future wife to dance. Oh yeah. Absolutely not. Was I going to waste this moment? I was going to drink life. And it just so happens the run kept going. So why would you stop it? You just put your stuff in storage in the United States, eventually send it down. And when you come home to see your family and friends, you have an excellent story to tell. But that's what you do, my man. You get 100 years here. How do you want to dance it?
How much time do you and your staff put into researching the customers that you have to do to
meet? That's a brilliant question.
A few seats now.
Yes.
Do you segment staff? You got this amount of people, you got that amount of people. Like what, without giving away your source, just...
Our goal is your guest, Naran, my friend, is to pay it forward. There is no secret sauce. The only secret sauce I have is how to play pinball. I'm not going to teach you some of my techniques, but depends on how large your list is, the ticket item, because mostly my agents here are making 400 to 600 calls a day on a predictive dollar. The only thing they see is the populated notes. Maybe there might be some additional stuff that you might have. If you're really good, you can multitask and take that information and look at a website or a LinkedIn profile. If you're doing post-call, email or a voicemail, then take the time for the due diligence. It's a warm lead, put the goodies in. But if you're on a phone call, you might not have the time. And so my suggestion is to focus on a company name spike and just say the name of the company better than whoever answered the phone did. teach you a lesson. And if you're able to anchor with them and calm them down for a minute, we use a buffer boomerang technique. I can readjust tones on a call. I could say, hey, Naran, that's an excellent question. ABC is 1, 2, 3. I get you to stop yelling at me and being bitter. Calming everyone down, understanding the question, repeating the question, so we save time, and then sending it back to you happy. We just let it go through you. It's a readjustment of tone, especially in the first couple rounds, the first 30 seconds is. 30 seconds, minute and a half, first three. You got to be very attentive to the quick questions that they asked you. Buffer it, readjust it, repeat it, send it back. If you answer like a child, you'll be treated like a child. And so these are the sort of things that when people are on the phone using these different soft skills compared to the other call centers, it's really just landing the introduction, Naran. It's all it's doing, because if you can't land your attention, anchor and have something in common with you, or at least snap you out of the, we're good, thanks, what are you selling, hang up calls, you might have a shot at it. And so all I'm doing is just increasing your odds of prolonging conversations by 30 seconds to a minute to make another good point, anchor and move forward. And so my suggestion in the first 30 seconds of any conversation with somebody is to give the compliment of acknowledgement, say either your name or the name of your company in a beautiful way. Just to, instead of saying, is this? No, sort of saying, welcome Victory Podcast. Yeah, how are you today? And it's going to put someone in a good mood. And instead of saying, who's this? They'll give you a positive reinforcement. Hey, who's this? So their defense went from like a 10 to a 2. And you took that 8 and moved you forward. They go, hey, Naran, that's an excellent question. My name is Richard Blank. But you double dip them. Don't give them the name of your company, because I want to know if they ask me the question one more time. Okay, Mr. Richard Blank, Mr. Happy, which company do you represent, or what's going on with the call today? Isn't that nice? You get a second positive reinforcement, and this is within the first 30 seconds. A tone has been readjusted. And then at the end, I'd say, once I get you're past the pitch, Naran, and you're about to pass me to the owner of the company, I'm going to give you a positive escalation. I'm going to say, hey, Naran, you were so helpful today. Thank you so much for assisting me and giving me good advice. I'm just going to let your boss know this. And so when you transfer me and Mr. Jones picks up, first thing I'm going to say is, hey, Naran's the greatest. You even go, what is this? Yeah, Naran, my son, or he's been with me for 20 years. Greatest employee I have. You have no defense. Now we're best friends because I just complimented my main man. And so then you ask who I am. It's the buffer boomerang again. Double questions. It's a great question. ABC's 1, 2, 3. And then I guarantee you, Mr. Jones, we'll give you at least 2 minutes. At least 2 minutes. It's yours to lose. If you're good, you'll get a 10-minute call. But at least you'll have your 2 minutes to speak in front of the king. He'll give you your time. And if you do that, at least you'll have 80% more chance of a contact ratio than if you're just carpet bombing and hoping that Judy transfers you. It's just, it's a much better play when you're prospect.
When you are deep culture, now we have the science of language. That in its catchphrases, terms that may not, that has to be translated in throughout the Spanish culture, they may not understand. But because you have both, that's your access. You understand Spanish, but you understand, as if anyone who's listening, how to speak well, how to get your point across. But you also understand tone, tonality, phraseology. How, what type of training do you have to get other employees there who may not understand some of the phrases or tones or things, and do you take that into consideration? I like this answer, because you don't really need to understand the history of walking victory in order to be there with what the customer needs. But if we're going to do it that way, then we do have to understand a second language. They do have to understand. Do they? I don't want to put words in. Do they have to understand some nuances?
Well, absolutely. If they don't know what grits are, they don't know what the shore means compared to the beach, we got big trouble.
They'll confuse football with soccer. So it's the first thing is Jeff Bass.
Phonetics, pronunciation. Their vowels mess them up. I, A, E, O, U. It crushes them on certain words. And so I ask them to say it first, spell it second. Yeah, they'll learn how to spell it. But my man, you better write that thing out phonetically. Even if you throw a Z in there, where'd that come from? I don't care. As long as it sounds perfect on the phone, it's not a miscommunication. Because what have I seen? If they're too concentrating on saying it correctly with the proper spelling, that will be a roadblock for them, a red light or a bump in the road.
Right.
The client doesn't see the script. So I would literally, if they want to, replace that word and gibberish it out. If that slides that word the way they love it, I'm not missing a beat. No one's doing English test grammar final exam. You got to be kidding me. Let them first give themselves leverage by readjusting 1, 5, or 20 words. Any word you need to rewrite the fun way, it works for me. I am not going to get you in trouble because that's the worst thing to grind their gears in that script. And then eventually it goes the other way, but phew, I am saving them 30% stress and weird times and thinking of it coming up and off. It's the worst rabbit hole ever. It's like covering the puddle with a jacket. Let them walk over. Now you're good. Why even worry about it anymore? So I try to move forward
with a little thing right now.
Hey, Richard, my foot's still whacking way through the holes.
We're in heels. I don't like bidding. I'm reducing their fear. There's certain things you sign up for, but there's other things that are unnecessary. That's weight that you need to lose in order to get better. And so I'm not gonna allow them the freshman sophomore things. That stuff, that's part of the play. I want the big stuff so I can have you think about it, put it to bed, and maybe sometimes use that burn in the gym for your advantage to get stronger and bigger and do proper form. And so we're on these calls and there are nuances and it's fun. Like sometimes they don't know, how do you like them apples? They say they saw it in a movie. We get to talk about it. Those things are fun when they start asking me expressions, and then they'll give me their expressions in Spanish of our English expression. And it's just, if you think that's a fun way to learn in a class, I think anytime someone makes progress in a language is fantastic. And if it's the sort of thing that brings a chuckle and a yuck on the floor and people start using it now, I think it's fantastic. What a nice addition to your armory.
So how much time when you were building, because when we start allocating time, then people don't understand. You have to structure it. How much training, how much time will we spend on this? How much time?
Not too much time. It's one of those, it's a rare snake eyes and crats. It's just the kind of thing where it's there. You should hedge your bet on it by knowing it, but I wouldn't focus most of your studying on that for the final exam. But if you find it of interest to you, if you want to at least learn the top 10, so when you see it in a movie or if it comes up in conversation, you're going to get it. Or maybe we give you the cheat sheet of the South, the West, the North, and the East of their expressions, like the shore, for an example. That's where we're going for the weekend, the shore. Someone's going to know it. And that's okay. But training is interesting. I believe in training on a CRM system. If someone, you need to input information, look up information, or learn a product or a service, fine. But what I cannot stand is when somebody does too much role-playing or soft skills training in the beginning. There has to be either participation a certain way or a breather or other sorts of things, because you're not going to get that much out of them. It's more sprinting than long distance running because they're new still and they're adjusting to your style and you're adjusting to theirs. And each person learns in a certain way. And I don't want to scare somebody so they don't come back or get somebody bored. And so what you try to do in your first training class is to keep it neutral so there's no exam on it. It's more of like when the teacher used to bring in the reel-to-reel or the VCR in class, you're like,
that's good.
So at least you're starting strong, which is knowledge flow, where it's eye candy, ear candy, things they can relate to, things to give you a chance for a half an hour to have them be in your presence and not be intimidated. We're marinating. Don't just start rushing into these lectures or ABC, Blake, Glengarry, Glenn Ross. You can. But in my opinion, as you say, it's a different culture. And so I'm taking their passivity and their poor vita into consideration because people here are very docile. They're very tranquil and very nice. And so it's really just a nice blending, like dipping toe in the pool. You go slow. And as long as you get checkpoints, Naran, and things make sense, then guess who moves forward on the board? We do. We start gaining yardage.
Mm-hmm.
These aren't long yard plays. We're grinding out yards and first downs, okay? But don't tell me if we don't have the momentum and the structure and the backbone. We can do this. And the client must give us a script or at least an outline for me to write the script with suggestions. I like rebuttals as well. I want to know how the pipeline is built, what the progress is, because we can turn in leads, but if you don't give us any feedback, what's it going to do to the troops? It's going to make the morale low. So a lot of it is the engine. You got to make sure the boys are feeling good. And so it's such a balance that as long as there's no surprises and there's a lot of communication, you can get the feedback you need. We get the feedback we need. Adjustments can be made. And then you'll start seeing through the metrics that your sales will be increasing. And that's just how it works.
The world changed pulled a lot of ways, but what we're starting to see is that in the U.S., we have a whole hybrid method. Just read an article.
Yeah.
Where people are beating up against that method, but only, and I keep telling people, the way they live is never coming back. You can't expect the horse not to go want to go run every night. No. But in cultures and countries where a mindset centered around family structure and business, not so me structure. You know what I mean? Like people are, how many hours do your employees own? How many days of week the culture call for work? Because
yeah.
Lived at a time, I grew up, you 52, and we grew up to like sweatshops and all of these things. And it's numbers in today's economy, and we assimilate over in other countries to do business.
My employees here work 40-hour work weeks to get their benefits. But in my mind, as a CEO of a company, that's part-time. You should be doing 80 to 100 hours in the beginning. Why? Because if you're responsible, you might have a full-time job and still be able to offset that by building your business, still supporting your family. Or when you're ramping up, you might need, as you mentioned before, you need to do the serving, the cooking, and the cleaning. You don't either have the money or the people or the space to bring people in. It saves you money, but then again, you're putting in another full-time job, doing the accounting in the beginning before hiring someone. Or even the supervision if it's just two seats before bringing in a supervisor. And so it's okay to carry plates. There's nothing wrong with being humble. In fact, a lot of the times when you see the movies, the owner of the Italian restaurants, the guy that sometimes brings the plate out and it's even more delicious. Why? Because Don Antonio is bringing it out and he's loving his food and
tells everybody.
It's the sizzle.
Fruit from that too.
He's proud of his food. And there's, I love things like that. Why can't you see what's in the kitchen from time to time and know the owner? I think that's a beautiful way. Doesn't have to be so cookie cutter and cold. It's not fun. But in regards to business, you shouldn't be very hard on yourself. You pace yourself, but you don't want to get sick. And then again, I know the expression is if you do what you love, you don't work the rest of your life. There's only so much chocolate you can eat, and then you get nauseous and you don't want to eat it for a while, like during Halloween or something. And it's just, or ice cream, or there's only so much of a good thing. You burn in the sun. Your skin gets wrinkled in the pool too long. You can't do everything for too long. Even lying in bed sleeping, you want to get out of bed. And so know your body, know your mind. It's okay to take a time out. Don't feel guilty because you might need to decompress. And then you'll realize you'll reset and might save yourself some time because you're wasting it somewhere else. I like being grounded. So you might want to spend time with people that knew you outside or before you started doing business. So your old buddies can just have a beer with you or a burger, just take a walk with you, let you vent, or just not say anything at all and just enjoy comfortable silence with a best friend. And those are the sort of things that will snap you out and snap you back into it. And you need that sort of resetting again, because you'll realize the dreams that you told your friend when you were 8 years old and you're having them come into realization. But instead of getting ahead of yourself, what it's doing is making yourself humble and grounded. And that's even better again. These are just thoughts that a person should have, because the mastery is just mastering the 10 steps, each one of them. And I like, once again, to put things away, put things to bed, have it where it's complete and I can focus on others. It doesn't necessarily need to be in order like school. Some things pace itself faster and better if it's more fun. And others, eventually you'll get back to it, but at least keep it going a little bit at a time, even if it moves slower. Give it a touch or remember it. And don't forget it. And also be self-reliant, because you should always be that final defense and goalie. You could have 50 people reminding you, working with you and this and that, but at the end of the day, you got to stop that shot. So you either don't lose money or time. And so you're always making sure that you're on top of your game and seeing the different levels while you're working.
My last thing is,
yeah,
it's not, my last thing is not, of course, what you're doing, because you're sharing with others that we can dream big, but we can have a heart for other people. Sometimes caught up in this whole, and 50 Cent is one, or rappers, whatever you do. The whole get rich or die, that means go over anybody at any cost. That's not in the way that you articulate yourself and the way that you, it's to me, I want to just say thank you for on our platform.
Yeah. Of course. And I also
want to question is, what books have influenced?
I wanted to definitely say the Mindful Marketer training course that you do, which I think is awesome. You're the man. Let me give a hand to Larry.
Oh, one person.
Hey, Ron, let me ask you a practical thing.
Go ahead.
Didn't you have a teacher that gave you a second chance? Didn't you have a mentor that someone that not looked the other way, but realized that they were you one time? I've been given more second chances, a few third chances from people. And I will say this, I'm exceptionally proud of this. I have a second language scholarship that I do every year at Abington High School for a graduating senior that wants to study second language university level. Why? because of Doña Esperanza Galshak, my Spanish teacher. She don't write me a recommendation letter. There's no way I was getting into Arizona. And then the late principal, Norman Schmidt, he totally got the ball in the end zone. My grades were terrible. But you paid forward. It's because I can and because I want to. And I want that gleam in the eye of the 18-year-old that wants to study the second language like I did and see where they go. And I tell you what, 50 Cent I respect. And listen, there's a lot of people out there that love him and spend time with him. So he's not stepping on every toe. But I understand the winning mentality. You are competing against 10 other people in some sort of waiting room or to get that contract or that job or that date or that friend or that space. And so I think the willing to go all the way, or as they say in baseball, run through first, and look at his career. Of course, that sort of mentality shot him right to the top, no pun intended. And I admire him as well. Amazing music, very talented, and just seems like a cool guy. And but then again, you shouldn't take everything that people say in a certain way. And it could be dangerous sometimes. You should look sometimes behind the meaning or ask other people's opinions before you wear it on your forehead and devote your life to it. And so it might be just a phase you're going through as well. I don't wear an earring anymore. And used to wear all black with like leather jackets back in middle school. But I think it's great to evolve and to change and to respect your taste that you have and other people's tastes. But I'm going to say it again. I just don't want your audience to be tough on yourself. Ron, what you do is a great podcast. I'm proud of your training course. And I'll tell you what, I'd rather have a solid one that sees it, respects it, than 100 people that pretend. It's not fun. And so be proud of what you do. And you'll have your time. And all the artists and the athletes that got famous, their favorite times are when they grinded it out, got up early to go to the gym and stayed late or had to have that heart to heart with their coach or their friend. And you see it in every movie. There are roads, the crossroads. They could settle in, have the normal life and do their thing, where they're going to risk it all to see if they can live a pure life. Does everybody succeed? No. That's why I count my blessings every day. This long shot should never hit. But at least I can respect myself and look in my eyes, my own eyes, and have that sort of pride that maybe it just wasn't my time or just wasn't the right thought at the moment. But damn, do I have backbone. And I was willing to go for it, like bare knuckled, like back in the day with the mustaches and stuff. Yeah, I was going to go for it. Yeah, bring in Tyson. No, I'm like, yes.
Well, you know,
but if you have that in your life and you feel that way in your life, I think it's a wonderful way to shine. And if you can capture, put it in a bottle and bring it out every now and again, then you got it. And you're going to win. And that's just the way I feel.
You can decide to walk with your head down, making excuses. I'm from Philly. I'm from Queens. Nobody cares. No, I can't get into the school that I want to get into. Or in that walk, you'll find people in the path that'll write you a letter that'll help you get through. You can fry for a few days and frying your wife, your bill.
Yeah.
And those who are on the our path. Listen, we don't ask you for cash outs, Venmos, none of those things. Is that you subscribe if you're listening on Apple, iTunes, iPod, leave a review. That you leave that review, it just helps to get in. Most of all, we ask that you walk in victory. Richard is now a part of the Walking Victory family. Oh, yeah. Enjoy the rest of your day.
This has been another episode of Walk in Victory podcast, where we seek you at the feet of the masters. We hope you enjoyed today's episode and found inspiration and valuable insights to apply to your own life. If you did, please show us some love by liking and subscribing to the podcast. Your support helps us reach more people and share more stories of triumph over adversity. Until next time, keep walking towards victory. And don't forget to follow us on social media for updates and behind-the-scenes glimpses of our episodes.